Now, Connect FM Sports puts every play under review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing.
In a stunning couple of weeks, the Steelers have completely revamped the quarterback room. Who should start, and are the Steelers real contenders again? We'll discuss.
Is Omar Khan done making changes? We have our doubts. What might be coming next? We'll talk to Alex Kazor from Steelers Depot for the latest.
There was a lot of more news made around the NFL in the last week. We'll talk about some of those moves and the ones that we loved and hated. I'm Bob Anderson.
I'm Dave Glass.
And I'm Dave Herzing. Stay tuned as we discuss these topics and more as we go under review.
Sponsored by Napa Auto Parts.
On Connect FM, your only local news radio. Welcome back to Under Review, and we're back. We have so much to talk about, and I thought we'd jump right in here, guys, and talk about the biggest story of the last couple weeks. I know I was stunned when I heard, I'm sure you were too, which one of you stole the 18,000 Yager bobbleheads?
Well, you know, my sister works in rail logistics, and she sent me a text right after she heard about that. She's like, see, I told you, rail fraud is a real thing. So, you know, and she's been saying for, you know, a while that there is some, you know, quite a bit of cargo loss, not 20% or anything, but a significant factor. And here it comes home in a big way.
Yeah. I told my buddies actually that I was going to set up a table at the Hazen flea market. So I'll be all set when they open up.
Hey,
here.
Even if you get a dollar per bobblehead, there you go.
That's right. What a deal.
All right. Well, of course I'm teasing. There has been a lot of big news with the Steelers. The NFL offseason never fails to disappoint. We went from Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I would have been happy with one or the other. I'm thrilled to have both. So your initial reactions to the quarterback changes?
Well, I mean, right away, you have to think it's an upgrade only because Trubisky was just terrible. And frankly, you know, you can make all the excuses you want for Pickett, and I know a lot of people out there have and still are, but when you look at the stats, he threw one touchdown every two games he played. That's just not a good number. Even Fields, who was thrown into a terrible situation, has thrown I think he averages a touchdown a game, and that's not even counting what he brings with his legs. So it's a risk, but it's not costing them very much. I mean, I think combined it's like less than $5 million on the cap. So yeah, it's interesting.
I read this the other day, Kenny Pickett on what he thinks his strengths, I'm sorry, today, excuse me, on what he thinks his strengths are right now and what he does well. I think my accuracy, I think my ability to play in and out of the pocket, get on the move, extend some plays, just being a leader on a team that guys want to play with, guys want to have in the huddle. All those things I feel like I do pretty well. That right there sums up the Kenny Pickett experience for me. That is delusional talking right there. I am thrilled to have Russell Wilson, an actual quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, who's a, I don't know, is he a Hall of Famer? I mean, the stats kind of bear out that he is if you look at him compared to some other Hall of Famer quarterbacks, and he got Justin Fields for literally nothing. I am ecstatic. So Stairway's in a really good position.
Well, I'll give Omar Khan credit. Man, he is like the Jim Rutherford of NFL GMs. He is not resting on his laurels. He's not afraid to make bold moves. Mike Tomlin says he wants volunteers, not hostages, and he got rid of the hostages here in the last couple of weeks. So, you know what? For me, in full disclosure, we are recording this show early, so who knows what might happen in the next couple of days while we are waiting for this to air. But you know, Pickett just wasn't good enough to be entitled like he was, to expect the starting position. And yeah. And when Russell Wilson came in, it's like, you know, he was done, and the Steelers just decided to move on at that point.
Well, and I think there's an interesting comparison. First of all, I'm not huge on the Wilson thing. I was on record before saying that, you know, he burned his bridges with two other franchises. But the Fields thing makes it all better because now you have a legitimate backstop. And let's look at Fields versus Pickett. Fields was in a terrible situation. You know, that team was horrible when they drafted him. They haven't given him the support they needed, but he was, you know, a good soldier the whole time. Nobody has anything bad to say. And when it came down to it this week, they did right by him. I guess there were other teams. I've seen reporting that said other teams were interested, and he said, no, I want to go to Pittsburgh, and they made that happen for him. Meanwhile, Pickett's over here crying and pouting and sitting out week 17, and then this happens with Wilson, and there's a lot of reporting that says he was kind of pissed off about it, and it's like, so you know what? Now you get to go be a backup for an MVP quarterback and never see the field. Is that better? I don't think that's better. I think he had a much better chance of proving himself in Pittsburgh, but you know, you make your bed, you lie in it.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of harmony in the Steelers locker room. I think, you know, looking now at a lot of the reports that came out, the people said were rumors. Kenny Pickett came out and said he was mischaracterized. I don't think they were. Something as simple as his body language on the sidelines. When he got pulled, you know, you see some of these other guys, these top tier guys, they're maybe having a bad stretch of games and, you know, they're giving a blow or whatever. He wasn't there for Trubisky. He certainly was never there for Rudolph. That's not characteristics of a leader to me. So I'm happy to see him go. I never liked the pick to begin with. I'm on record. I never liked that pick. I thought they completely reached for Kenny Pickett with that first round pick. And so I am so happy to see him go. Hashtag get lost Kenny Pickett.
And I think you make a good point there, D. I think he did lose the room. You know, when you're the quarterback, you're expected to be the leader. And the team wanted somebody else, even if it was Mason Rudolph. But reports say that Fields will back up Russell Wilson. Is that the right move?
Well, you didn't bring in Russell Wilson to be the backup, probably. I think, they're never going to come out and say this. They're always going to say there's always competition, blah, blah, blah. Russell Wilson isn't signing with us unless there was some probably...
Wink, wink.
Wink and a nod to say that you're going to start week one. Now, does he start week five? I think that depends on how he plays, right? And at least now they've got somebody who potentially could take over. And the other thing I like is Fields has been unabashedly saying that, you know, Wilson was his, you know, is the person he strove to be. And I think they're probably going to develop a really good relationship. I mean, Wilson seemed extremely happy that he was coming on. I think Wilson realizes, you know, this might only be, if he has a really great year, it's probably a one-shot deal and he's going to go get paid. If he's terrible, he's probably done. So I think he does himself some favors with trying to rehab his image if he takes Fields under his wing here and makes him the next heir apparent, right?
The stat that stood out to me, and again, obviously his play has declined, but you never know, he could be revitalized. You know, he had the eighth best QBR in the NFL when he started. I mean, that's unbelievable.
You mean last year?
Last year.
Oh, wow.
You're talking about Wilson?
Russell Wilson. Mm. He started 15 games in 2023. He had a 98 passer rating. So think about that.
Yeah. He had a lot of touchdowns. I mean, statistically, he and Pickett are like night and day. But I still have to come back to, you had a team that was kind of fighting and clawing for a playoff spot there, and they benched him. So what are we're missing something. And, you know, Seattle got tired of him too, and he kind of talked his way out of Seattle with some of the things he did. Look, the proof's in the pudding. And again, we didn't pay anything for him. What, $1.2 million? Yep. I mean, that's nothing. So it's a very low risk, high ceiling situation. And, you know, I think you said in the preview here, did that make them true contenders? I think they made a lot of other moves, which we'll get to, but all of a sudden they're looking pretty good in this division. And when we go over the other free agent stuff that's happened, spoiler alert, Cincinnati, really, they lost a lot of talent. Like, they're not what they were.
No, not at all.
Well, back to Fields real quick and Wilson. For me, I was probably more excited for Fields than I was Wilson. I mean, I loved the ability to run. I mean, you haven't seen a quarterback like him, you know, really since Lamar and maybe Cam Newton. But other than that, I mean, he is
now they're in the
a
same
unicorn.
Division, Lamar.
Yeah, how about that? And he is beloved by his locker room. And I saw his farewell to Chicago. It was really classy. But let me ask you guys quickly to discuss the other moves here. What did you think about let me have you give me a grade and a quick thought or two. Deontay for Dante. Deontay Johnson traded to Carolina for cornerback Dante Jackson. Grade and thought.
I'll start. I'm going to give that one a C only because I'm not convinced that that was because of talent. I think that he was kind of going back more to hostages versus volunteers and them wanting to clean up the room. Which, okay, kudos to them, but you also let this fester for this long. Now they do kind of have a wide receiver problem. I know they've made some other moves, but at the time, it's like when they traded him, it's like, okay, now the only wideout you have is Pickens. And I don't know that the corner they got back, and maybe he's okay, maybe he's not, but Yeah, it's okay.
Average.
Well, it's when you looked at the different trades and the different analysts, some were giving it an A, some were giving it a C. I didn't see anything that was really negative with it. The thing that stood out for me was what you just said, Dave, getting him out of that locker room. From everything you hear about him, he was awful. He was a terrible locker room presence, always complaining. The word was that he and Pickens just did not get along at all. So obviously you're going to err on the side of maybe a potential superstar in Pickens, who now you have a quarterback that can legitimately throw him a beautiful deep ball and get rid of a guy to address a need. A lot of the CBS, Sports Illustrated, I know Fox News have given all of the Steelers' moves an A. Fox gave them an A+. I've loved everything they've done, including this.
Well, what about the Patrick Queen signing? 3 years, $41 million. We'll start with you this time, D.
I love it. Again, they're addressing a need. They really, and hey, we saw him play against Stairway, man. He looked good. You know, and I know Baltimore's saying he was playing alongside, you know, what's Roquan, and I get all that. But you know what? He's got a great defense to play around as well. So, you know, I love the signing.
Well, he's the one I said when we were on the air that I really wanted. So yes. I can't help but give this an A+, because not just because of the need, as you just said, the cost was okay, but it also directly harms your number one rival. So you get a twofer out of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good fit.
All right. Well, as things stand now, do you think the Steelers can compete with the top teams in the AFC?
I think they can compete with the top teams in the division. I don't know yet if they can compete with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes seems to be on, the Chiefs with him seem to be on a level all by themselves. But, you know, win the division and, hey, you never know what happens. Maybe I don't want him to get hurt, but if Mahomes goes down for any reason, it's wide open.
Well, yeah, and hey, look at Burrow. He's hurt a lot. He's coming off another injury. Is Jackson going to have another year like he did this past year? I mean, it was a once every 10-year type of year for a quarterback. The guy was an MVP. I mean,
wasn't very good in the playoffs.
No, exactly. He wasn't very good in the playoffs at all. So you just never know. I don't worry about Cleveland. I think
a way to blow.
That's right. So yeah, I think Pittsburgh actually wins a playoff game this year, maybe two. But to your point again, Dave, there's no way that they're near where Kansas City is right now. They're just not.
Well, what'll be the next shoe to drop? We will talk to Alex Kozora from the Steelers Depot next when we return on Under Review, sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. And we're back on Under Review, and it's a pleasure now to welcome in our next guest, Alex Kozora from the Steelers Depot, who is covering the team. And man, it's been a busy couple of weeks. Alex, here, we'll just jump right in. The quarterback room has changed considerably. How much better are the Steelers now with the guys they have in the room?
Well, I think some of that remains to be seen as all the pieces come together, as the offseason finishes out, the draft's still coming, and I imagine Pittsburgh is not standing pat when it comes to more future free agent additions. I would frame it like this, guys. I don't view Pittsburgh as a sudden Super Bowl contender with the addition of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, but I think they can do what's really eluded them for the last 7 years, which is win a playoff game. And I really think kind of these radical and big changes Pittsburgh has suddenly made in a more aggressive mentality in the offseason is stemming from that, this frustration of no playoff victories since 2016. Your ownership talk about it, the coaches talk about it, and you feel that. That is not the standard that Pittsburgh has, is to be competitive, have a winning season, get in the playoff race, then get bounced in the wild card round. That's not their MO. So I think that's kind of driving them. I think they can win a playoff game with Wilson. I don't know how much further they can go than that.
Things have been so fluid. They're signing players. They're, making trades. How much cap space do they have as it stands right now?
Dave Bryan's the cap guy for the site, but he had a post go up this morning on Steelers Depot. People can check out. He's always tabulating and updating the cap. They're around $15.5 million right now. And some of that will be earmarked for future needs and use, but they can also restructure Alex Highsmith's contract and do an extension with Kim Hayward to free up cap space as well. So, really what the bottom line is, they have enough money to go sign basically whoever else they want to go sign.
Alex, do you think Kenny Pickett handled himself appropriately on the way out the door? I know there were some rumblings. He said in his presser that he had some good memories in Pittsburgh, and he thought he was the type of player that he should have been. You know, what are people saying, you know, there in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of criticism on some of the reporting. It does feel like he, you know, was asking to be traded, and that wasn't Pittsburgh voluntarily deciding to move him after signing Wilson. But, I mean, it's hard to say for sure, not knowing exactly what happened behind closed doors. I think he saw the writing on the wall that, yes, Pittsburgh may frame this as competition between him and Wilson, but Wilson was the odds-on favorite to win that job, and I think Pickett knew his time in Pittsburgh was coming closer to the end. So I can understand the instinct to want to go somewhere else, even though he's now the clear backup in Philadelphia behind Jalen Hurts. So whether he handled it right or wrong, I'm sure there's probably a mix of everything. It's probably blame to go around for all parties involved. My focus right now is that Kenny Pickett's gone, Wilson and Fields are in, and that's what this team will move forward with.
What do you think the next shoe to drop is, Alex? I know that Mike Williams is supposed to be visiting. Do you think that they go for a receiver next?
I think the two biggest needs, two of the three, but two offensively, are wide receiver and center. Now we'll see what happens with Williams. He's got visits with the Jets tonight and into tomorrow, and with the Carolina Panthers, and the Chargers may want him back. So, you know, we'll see if he even gets to Pittsburgh in the first place and kind of take it from there. But certainly receiver, you know, you trade away Deontay Johnson, you got to get some more weapons for this offense. Your offense, your passing game has to be more potent than it's been. But I think center too. Now, center's not going to be solved in free agency. That market is shrinking, and even more so today with some veterans coming off the board. But I think when you get into the draft, round one, round two, that's where center comes in. But I would say receiver, center, and slot cornerback are three big needs still outstanding for this team. You release Patrick Peterson, Shannon Sullivan still a free agent. There is nothing at slot corner right now.
Well, and I know that you got to go here, Alex, so we won't hold you up. But the other deals here, which one was your favorite? I imagine that Patrick Queen is the most notable. Is that your favorite too?
Yeah, it's a really good signing. I mean, the highest paid outside free agent Pittsburgh has ever signed. I'm really happy with that. It's still structured favorably, so Pittsburgh wasn't reckless with their spending. But, you know, I love special teams. I love to be a punter, Cameron Johnston, to get some stability in there and get somebody that I think could be more consistent and flip the field and a really accurate punter that can pin teams deep for an offense that should be better, needs to be better, still value in a good punter. He's truly your first line of defense before TJ Watt and company take the field. So I think going out there and getting a veteran proven option and punter, I know it's not the flashiest name and gets lost in all the other headline news Pittsburgh has made, but I think that's a really smart move by Pittsburgh.
All right, Alex, hey, thanks so much, and we'll catch up to you again here soon.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you. So Alex here, he's a busy guy. I know the Steelers Depot is doing a great job covering a lot of these things, and I got to tell you guys, they have great draft coverage. But, you know, he talked about the punter. I don't think we talked to any bit about the safety. And, of course, I don't even think I got your opinions on Patrick Queen. So what did you guys think of the other moves the Steelers made?
Well, we talked about Queen a little bit. I do want to hit on the punter thing. I agree with him. I think that's important. But I also disagree with the fact that they drafted one in the first place. I would never draft a punter.
There are
too many of them around.
Yeah, they did a stat about drafting punters here a couple years ago, and I realized things have changed. Most of them coming out of the draft are almost exactly the same,
yeah,
aside from one or two guys that maybe average five more yards on their punts. Most of them are the same.
And it's about consistency. And if you draft one, I don't care what they say about sunk costs, If you use draft capital, you're going to give that person an extra chance. They did.
I mean,
Harvin was inconsistent at best.
Oh my!
But if you sign an undrafted free agent and he comes in and he's terrible, you just let him go and go get another one.
Yeah.
And it's the same with kickers. You know, yes, we have a great kicker. You pay a kicker once you realize that they're good.
Yeah.
You don't go drafting a kicker either.
What do you guys think about the Mike Williams visit? Do you think that he would be a good fit?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I still think they need to do – they're probably going to have to draft a wideout. I trust them. If I trust them to draft anything, they have a really good
absolutely,
you know, track record with wideouts. But Pickens needs help, and I think he needs not just like slot middle field help. He needs somebody who's actually going to take the double team off of him, because if I'm the other team's defensive coordinator, I'm doubling him everywhere and just daring somebody else to beat me.
Well, I'll tell you the guy I think that might have a really nice bump this season is Freiermuth. Because, you know, I mean,
it's time for him.
Absolutely. You think about, you know, Pickett last year running for his life, and Rudolph, you know, throwing the ball deep, and they never used the middle of the field. The Steelers did not use the middle of the field all that often. I mean,
until
the end of the year. Yeah, absolutely. Until they finally turned things around. But no, I think Freiermuth will help Pickens a lot. I love the idea of Williams visiting. I don't think you overpay him. I don't think they should invest that much more money on their defense. I mean, they still have cap space, but that defense is 141. I mean, it's crazy what they pay that defense. You win with offense in the NFL, not defense. Get superstars on offense.
Yeah, I'm a little reluctant with Mike Williams. I got to be honest, because he's been injury prone. And in a lot of ways, I think he plays a similar game to George Pickens. So you really need somebody who can compliment him a little bit. Van Jefferson, they picked him up. I mean, we really didn't talk about
Jefferson.
Him. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of those rumors just for fun. There's the Justin Jefferson rumor.
Oh.
There's the Deebo Samuel rumor. I mean, hey, you never know with Omar Khan here.
If you're going to go in, go all in. If you can get Justin Jefferson.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's the guy. That's the one I wanted.
If they got Justin Jefferson, they would win the division. There's not a – because what you got to pick your poison there. Very few teams have two cornerbacks that are going to be able to contain receivers of that caliber on the outside. You know, if I'm Omar Khan, they have the cap room. You could restructure. There's things they could do. The Atlantic did a piece about the potential to bring in different receivers. And then ESPN Radio actually did a piece. Some analysts from the NFL Network came on. The Steelers they could get Justin Jefferson. It would take a lot of different restructuring of contracts, but like you just said, Dave, if you're going to go all in, and you have Wilson basically for 1 year, Wilson could take you to the Super Bowl. I mean, he really could. He's won a Super Bowl before, and you just never know.
And Jefferson's a difference maker.
Oh,
that
my.
Guy is almost on cover.
And look what he did with Kirk Cousins. Is Kirk Cousins that? I mean, I know he's better than Russell Wilson, but is he much better than Russell Wilson?
I don't know. That's to me, that's close. That's why when Atlanta paid Cousins all that money, I'm like, I don't know. I definitely think we won that.
I'll tell you who won. It's Kirk Cousins in life.
Oh, hey, good. And I never blame a player
no
for taking
way.
The money. Good for Kirk Cousins.
I love Kirk Cousins because the guy has done so little and got so much. It's incredible.
He should be an agent when he
retires.
He should
be. The guy is unbelievable. He's playing Jedi mind tricks out there in the NFL. It's incredible.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to look at the other free agent winners and losers. Stay with us here as we continue Under Review, sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. And we're back on Under Review. No league dominates the offseason like the NFL, and last week was like Christmas for NFL fans. There were so many moving parts, so many signings. I know I had to go back like you guys and look at all of these things, but we're going to talk about some of you, so I want you to each give me a signing that you really liked. Let's start there. So, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to, but before we do that,
okay,
I have to give you a lot of credit because we've argued before on this show because you want to talk about NFL every week, and I've said, look, we don't need to talk about NFL every week. There's got to be an off season, and these last 2 weeks have proven that Bob Anderson was right. I was wrong. The NFL never sleeps. We can talk about it every single week. We can have 52 shows with an NFL segment, and we still won't get to it all. So that's just the truth. I submit. I surrender.
Well, and guess what? We got the draft coming up.
I know that's your nirvana. So.
Yes.
The moves, are we talking about free agent moves?
Yeah, let's just start with, it can be anything here from the last week or two. It could be a trade, a signing, whatever, re-signing. But give me something you really liked.
Something I really liked. Well, I was going down through this, and I like what Philly has done. I like the Barkley signing. I mean, I think he's going to be very motivated. They went and got Bryce Huff too. And, that was that's a good move.
I like that deal, by the way. That was on my list, Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
I mean, he's underrated, but man, he's really good. He actually produced more pressures than any other player in the league. The only two that produced more, well, 20% or more on their pass rush downs was him and Micah Parsons.
So, I mean, there's a lot of good things there. The only thing he's very young too. They've got the quarterback. Now that maybe they've got the backup quarterback, who knows what they've got there, but
not according to D over here.
No way.
You know, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about, running backs and how they fared in this, and I actually think that it was kind of a mixed bag. I mean, some of them did get paid, Barkley did okay. I actually thought he'd do a little bit better than what he ended up with. But I would say those are the two. I mean, he got 3 years, $46.75 million, which is and $26 million guaranteed. All right, that's good. But when you look at what other positions get, it's not like doesn't blow you away.
No.
I mean,
but I do like that fit.
What's that?
I do like that fit.
Oh, the fit's wonderful. I think he's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Tiki Barber doesn't like the fit. He was complaining about.
Well, yeah.
It was like, what are you doing, dude? He said Saquon was like dead to him and everything else.
Well, he was a Giant, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And Saquon, I don't care what he said.
Exactly. And Saquon came back and told him not to smile at him in the streets. It was, I love the Barkley signing. I've always followed Barkley's career because to me, he's one of the top three Penn State players that I've ever seen, maybe arguably the best one that I've ever laid eyes on. And he was stuck in that quagmire in New York. So him going to a legitimate contender with an offensive line, I think it's going to be great for him and revitalize his career. Also a guy, I think another winner would be Derrick Henry and the Ravens. They really filled a hole. They needed a running back. They've always needed that game-breaking running back, and that style of play that they play in Baltimore fits Henry to a T.
He just feels like a Raven, doesn't he?
He certainly does. He's going to be a handful for sure, but I thought they did great in free agency.
They better get the ambulances ready when they play Pittsburgh because Patrick Queen now and Derrick Henry, and oh man, that's going to be a bruising
Derrick Henry's 30 years old. How many running backs do you know that are really good after 30 years old? I'm thrilled that they spent money on him. As a Steeler fan, it's like I love it when the Ravens do something that I think is dumb. To put money into a 30-year running back, hey, go for it.
Well, the one signing that I really liked was Marquise Brown. And, of course, he went to Kansas City. But anybody who goes to Kansas City is usually going to overplay their expectations. He got a one-year deal, $11 million. Things didn't work out in Arizona for him, but I think if they're going to work out anywhere, it's going to be with Patrick Mahomes. He can be kind of Tyreek Hill of that offense and give them a deep threat that will open up the field for the other players on the team. All right, let's go with something that caught your eye that you didn't like. We'll start with D this time.
Yeah, one of the things I was actually going to bring up is the fact that the running back undervalued, the payment of these backs, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I get why in theory, but like Barkley, you mentioned Dave, a guy like Barkley, you have to game plan for Barkley. You've got a game plan for Derrick Henry. These running backs are really getting the shaft and how little they're getting paid in comparison to, like, you know, a slot receiver or, you know, I don't know.
Even the guards got paid.
That's what I mean. I was going to say, like, any lineman. It's a very odd thing. I mean, think about when we were growing up watching football, the running back position was a marquee position. It's no longer a marquee position, but a guy like Saquon Barkley, a guy like Derrick Henry, imagine the 49ers without Christian McCaffrey, what that offense is.
Well, and I think to your point, and that's a great point you're bringing up, how the guards have been paid. It's almost like in baseball when the pitching went from too many pitches and too many innings to now way too few. And before, when we were kids, running backs were way overvalued, way, way, way overvalued. I mean, remember when Herschel Walker was traded? That was one of the dumbest trades in the history of trades. But now, you cannot tell me that even an above-average guard is worth what a good running back is to your team.
Exactly.
I mean, I can find a guard anywhere. I can't find Saquon Barkley. So I'm not saying they should get $50 million like quarterbacks or even what wide receivers get in this NFL. But, yes, they continue. They have a good point. They're underpaid because they're never drafted high. They're underpaid now when they're in free agents. Just what I said, I wouldn't pay one of them when they're over 30 because the tread's all off the tires. So when do they get paid?
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. And it's funny when you look at college football now, a lot of these guys, they want to have the NIL deals and stuff now. You hear these coaches saying, these running backs are telling these coaches, I'm coming to your school if you limit my carries. Think of that. They don't want to be a featured back because their sights are set. If they're a marquee guy, their sights are set down the road of the NFL. They don't need a lot of film to show what they can do.
Yeah, there's only so much tread on the tires.
Yeah. So what move didn't you like?
I know. I was going to say, you guys are not answering the question here.
Let me get back to you on that.
Okay, well, I'm going to go.
Sorry. I got derailed there for a second.
I'm going to go. In terms of moves I didn't like, I think Kirk Cousins to Atlanta is crazy. He's too old. This is his numbers aren't that different from Russell Wilson. The difference is Russell Wilson is $1.3 million and Kirk Cousins is $180 million, I think.
Yeah, coming off a torn Achilles.
So, yeah, and who's never won, actually, I think he's won one playoff game in his career. Now, I understand he played with the Commanders but for a long time, but still.
He had some weapons in Minnesota, that's for sure.
And if I'm going to go with teams, I don't understand what Dallas is thinking here. They're just getting stripped down, and the three moves they've made are nothing.
Well, the one,
yeah, their lack of moves is startling. Yeah. Considering Jerry World is all—he's all in. He's going for
Yeah, and they lost Tony Pollard too. Yeah. I guess the move that I didn't like was a Cowboy, but the one Tyron Smith, left tackle, he went to the Jets for a 1 year, $20 million deal. His resume isn't the problem. I mean, he's got a great career, but he's injury prone. He's 33 years old, and you're gonna trust him to protect Aaron Rodgers. Who's also an aging asset. So for me, I just don't know. I thought they would address that position in the draft, but it looks like they're probably going to take a weapon, maybe like a Brock Bowers in the draft now. Anything for you, D, or we can move on?
Just move on. It doesn't really, and truthfully, there's so many different things in the NFL that you like, you don't like. Actually, whatever the Chargers are doing right now, too, I don't know what's going on out there with that organization. I know Harbaugh's out there.
I think he just wants to start over.
Yeah, is he just hitting reset and just completely wiping? Who's Herbert going to throw to?
I know, right? Well, let's get into that. Let's grade some of these acquisitions from the other from around the league here. Just give me your grade and your thought on these ones. So Baker Mayfield re-signs in Tampa Bay, 3 years, $100 million. What'd you think of that?
Well, I think he earned it. I think he went down there and rehabbed himself. You know, his image. I don't want to say rehabbed himself. He rehabilitated his the way he's perceived. He was pretty good for them. I think, frankly, if I were Cleveland, I'd be kind of like, we're better off with Mayfield than all this nonsense we did for
Watson. Well, they would have been a lot better off with Baker.
So what grade do you give it?
A B. I mean, it's a lot of money, but in quarterback NFL dollars, it's average money, right? I mean. Right.
Yeah, I'd give it a B plus, A minus. Baker's a decent quarterback. He can get you where you need to go. I've always liked watching Baker Mayfield. He fits that offense very well, so I like it. I mean, you got to get a quarterback, and there aren't that many marquee ones. And Baker's easily a top 15 quarterback, so you got to sign him.
He fit in.
Absolutely.
How about the Titans signing Calvin Ridley? 4 years, $92 million, 50 guaranteed. D, give me a grade.
I'd say a B minus. That seemed like a lot of money for Ridley. I was very surprised. I mean, his agent, I don't know what his agent was telling them, but that seemed like a lot of money for him.
I agree. I don't like that deal, but I actually they were going to be one of my teams that I thought really did a nice job. They're very aggressive in trying to, you know, okay, they let Henry go, but to get Pollard for a much cheaper deal without a whole lot of guaranteed money at all.
Mason Rudolph.
And a lot of people, and I didn't really notice this until I read today, but they got that center Cushenberry from Detroit, from Denver, and everybody's really high on that kid. So,
well, I have to say too, there were a lot of centers available, and the Steelers passed up all of them. So
they must know something that they're.
I don't know. I think
they're going that direction in the draft.
Absolutely, I agree with you, Bob. I won't be surprised.
That's a crapshoot, though. I mean, the last time they drafted a center in the draft, it didn't work out very well.
Well, they've done pretty well drafting centers, too. So.
At times. But so anyway, yes. So Ridley a C, but I have to give Tennessee a B-plus overall because they knew they had to – where they were at wasn't working. So might as well, you know, jumpstart things a bit.
Well, let's close on this one. Which of these trades for a receiver did you like better and why? The Browns acquired Jerry Jeudy from the Broncos for a fifth and sixth round pick, and the Bears acquired Keenan Allen for a fourth round pick. So which one of those do you like better and why?
Oh, that's tough. I hate to favor Cleveland, but I think I will just because they clearly are in win now mode. I mean, their chips are in with Watson for better or worse. You might as well put as many weapons around him as you can. I can't figure out Chicago because it's like they draft Fields. They've got nothing around him. They've actually put a whole good group together, and it's like, oh, we're going to move on, and now we're going to flip a coin in the draft on who we get, you know? So I'm not sure what they're doing.
Yeah, Chicago really is hedging. They're putting it all in on Caleb Williams.
He better be the
Yeah, he better
deal.
Be the guy.
Well, that is interesting. Why didn't they just keep Fields for all the more they got out of him? He'd be a great backup to Williams if it doesn't
and,
work
and,
out.
And I do want to say this. I'm sorry to, but I did some research, and the quarterbacks who come in and sit their first year, generally speaking, have a much better long-term
Mahomes
projection.
Did it. Yeah.
I mean, and now Williams is going to play in Chicago, whoever they draft, yeah. And I assume it's him. You've let Fields go. You've basically said to the world that you're going to start this kid.
What's really amazing to me is you look at Caleb Williams when he won his Heisman, and he had a lot of talent around him. And then the wheels kind of started coming off the wagon last year for Caleb Williams, and you started to see a lot of his flaws. What's he going to do when he gets to the Bears? I mean, he was running for his life last year with USC, and he's going to an organization that has been a tire fire for 2 decades.
But they started to play better last year, and honestly, I think he's
That's
coming
because of Fields,
into a,
though.
He's coming into a really good situation, in my opinion. Most first overall picks come into crap. I mean, he's going to have Keenan Allen. He's going to have what's the other receiver? DJ Moore. Yep. He's got a good running back. They started playing better at the end of last year. So I do like the situation for him as opposed to that would have been the Panthers. So I'd much rather play for the Bears than the Panthers.
I agree with all that. I'm not so worried about the situation they've built as to whether Williams is actually the guy. I know I have a friend who follows Pac-12 very closely, and he says Williams is going to be a bust. Mm. I didn't watch him.
Wow.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, the few games I was able to stay up and watch USC, obviously the year previous, Caleb Williams looked like freaking Joe Montana out there. This year, I mean, he didn't look so hot. The scouts see obviously things differently than we all do, but to my eye, he didn't seem like, you know, that like the number one overall pick.
All right, when we return, we're going to go upon further review. Stay with us on Under Review, sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. And we're back on Under Review, and it's time to close out the show. We like to go upon further review, where we go around the horn here and see who has a story that caught their attention in sports in the past week. So who wants to go first this week?
I'll go first. I'm not a golfer. I found this. I was on Twitter. I happened to see this guy doing the waggling. When I go play golf, I enjoy going out with my friends, having a couple beers. And I'm not kidding you. When I get up to the tee, it takes me about 1 second and I hit the ball.
You're my kind of golfer,
right?
D.
I don't mess around. All right. So this guy, some bum named Brian, I don't remember his last name now. Is it Harmon or Heyman or something?
He's a left-handed golfer.
Get lost, this guy. But I watched this and he was, and someone on Twitter said that the screen looked like it was glitching. Because he was up there just waggling along. So you guys are both golfers. You golf much more than I do. What are your thoughts on that? Because I found it to be just infuriating watching this guy.
Well, nobody can be worse than Sergio Garcia.
Well, I heard he was bad too. I watched a clip of him, and I never knew it until I saw this clip. And it was like, dude, hit the ball.
And I'm with you. I am all for fast golf. And I've long said it, I don't care if you're good, I don't care if you're bad, just play fast. And there's nothing that is more difficult for me than playing behind a foursome that is extremely slow, won't let you play through. I have to imagine it's infuriating for the players on the PGA Tour when they're waiting for these guys to hit.
Well, just put him on the clock if he's that slow, really. And I understand that down there everybody's slow, that's a long tournament. But to your point, Bob, my grandfather taught me to play golf when I was a little kid. And I remember very similar to what you just said. I remember him saying to me when I was very young, some days you might play good, some days you might play bad, but you can always play fast.
That's great.
And there's no excuse for it. You know, I hate these recreational golfers in particular that they're lining up for the 8. They got a 3-foot putt that's going to get them a snowman. And they're like looking at it from 6 different angles. I'm like, dude. Somebody tell him it's good, please.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, but you said golf, and I've got to say, I rolled my eyes because I thought you were going to steal mine because I was going golf. We don't ever talk about these beforehand.
Yeah.
So how often do we both do golf?
Never. This might be my first golf ever.
Well, that's why I about fell over when you said that. I'm like, because I thought you were going to talk about what I'm going to talk about, which was the controversy Thursday with at the players about the balls that went in the water, and Spieth was screaming at McIlroy about where the drop location. Well, my problem with this is very simple. This is 2024. They have ShotLink. They've got 100 cameras out there. You're telling me they've got rules guys who could probably bring up their phone. You're telling me you can't look at a camera and figure out where the freaking drop should be? Instead, we're talking about it on Twitter and everybody's questioning each other's, how whether they're honest or not. I can see why they were concerned, but I also don't think that he was trying to gain an advantage. But my goodness, we're doing replays in baseball to see whether a guy came off the bag by a millimeter when he steals second, and we can't figure out where the ball crossed the hazard line?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I mean, I don't watch golf all that much. I find like on a Sunday, if I happen to turn it on, the course looks beautiful and I'll watch a few holes. And I actually happen to see that again, you get on Twitter and you see these controversies and stuff. One thing I'm getting out of it is I tend to watch a little more golf as the weather gets warmer. Man, these guys are babies. They whine and cry about the dumbest stuff there. I mean, a fan makes one little noise and these guys lose their collective minds.
Was that Fowler?
Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
What are these guys doing? These overprivileged, it's like it drives me nuts.
Well, I didn't really watch any golf, honestly, over the weekend. I haven't watched it much at all since Tiger hasn't been around. But
you and everybody nobody watches it. It's the ratings for golf are horrendous.
I didn't watch too much this weekend, but I like to tune into the players just to,
it's a beautiful course.
It's a beautiful course. 17's interesting. I just wanted to bring that up. So now went two for two on golf.
Just real quick, I was going to say, if there was one course that I would like to play, it would be the Players Championship, the Sawgrass course. It just looks so nice. And hey, I'd like to dunk one in the water in 17.
I was going to say, we'd probably lose a dozen balls each there, Bob.
Perhaps, for sure. But, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, guys. Jake Gensel was traded on March 2nd, and it finally, after all the speculation, he sent to Carolina for a second-round pick, Michael Bunning, and three prospects. Did the Penguins get enough for him?
We don't know what the market was, right? We can't be in those rooms and know what the return was. I always prefer when you're going to move a guy that you move him before the deadline, because I think you can get a little bit more being first out of the barrel. You're giving the other team another four or five games. Now, in Gensel's case, I understand he was injured, so you weren't going to get four or five extra games, so that probably affected his return. Plus, some unknown as to how he would return off of this injury. When you're a free agent versus having another year in your contract, that also reduces the return. And this is the thing that gets me, Dubas seems just bound and determined that instead of doing an actual rebuild, we're going to try to rebuild on the fly and bring in, he didn't want picks. He didn't even want prospects. He wanted Bunting so he could just slide right in there. And it's like, dude, this isn't working. I mean, we got to get younger. And I don't mean like a year or two younger. Like, we don't have a single player under 25 on this roster.
Yeah, again, to your point, I no one knows what the market for Gensel truly was. I read Dubas's really lengthy interview. It was like 2 or 3 days after they let Gensel go. He seemed like he was trying to convince himself in the interview that he did the right thing. If you read that, he just over-explained it. To me, it seems like I think they could have gotten more, but a lot of the analysts said, and I tend to agree with them, that he waited too long. Mm. And I don't, again, I don't know how that, what goes on in those GM rooms, but I don't know. It didn't seem like a whole lot for a player of Gensel's caliber, but again, you never know. A lot of those picks, we don't know what they're going to pan out to be like. Gensel was a third? I mean, so you
third
don't.
Pick.
Yes,
yeah.
You don't.
That's
know
pretty rare, though. Most of the time, you don't see players that.
Letang was a third round pick too, I think. But I think you hit the nail on the head, Dave. I think he wanted Michael Bunning. I think that's what it came down to. He knew him from his Sault Ste. Marie days, and I just think that he had his eyes on him. And I have to say, he's fit in pretty well so far.
So far, so good. I saw the comparison to Hornquist after yesterday. I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and when they got Hornquist for James Neal, everybody thought that was a bad deal. I mean, you're giving
There's
up
a
all
name
this
we haven't
skill.
Heard in a while. James
yeah,
Neal.
The real deal.
The real deal.
Yeah. And those three prospects they got, I won't even try to pronounce their names. Who knows if we'll ever see them at all in the league. But, the rental market is a whole different animal.
But, whether you got enough or not, I think – team after team filled their needs. I thought Edmonton was a good fit. They wanted the more teams that go a different direction, you kind of back yourself into a corner to where there were only one or two teams that really had an interest in Gensel by the end. So
but some of
tough.
Those guys they didn't trade was surprising to me. I mean, Lars Eller, you would have thought that there would be a market for him. One of the goalies.
He wants to. They want to compete next year. That's the only reason Eller stayed. I'm convinced they only traded Gensel because he was a expiring contract. Now, if they'd have kept him, I'd have been even more upset because you can't let him walk for nothing. And he was going to walk.
But, the disappointing thing, though, is this is me being the most optimistic of the three here in this room for the Pens. Do you think they can compete next year? Because I don't.
No.
No way.
No. And there's no, with all due respect to the GM, to him and to the coaching staff and even the ownership who consistently put money in, there's no Omar Khan like rebuild to do here where you can get a quarterback for literally pennies on the dollar. That's not going to happen. So I don't know what their plan is. I saw today some speculation of moving Carlson to Ottawa. All right, maybe.
He's been awful.
Well, he hasn't been good. Honestly, lately, Letang's been worse, but I don't know. They're just too darned old. That's the thing.
You're always going to say that.
I'm not. As long as they're all over 34, you're still
playing. Hey, we're going down on Tuesday for Jake's return.
Yeah,
so
I'll be there with you.
Yeah,
dude.
So and it's my son's first Penguin game, too.
Yeah,
so
that's
he's
awesome.
Really, really excited.
Hey, you'll have a great time no matter what the score
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, it is time to get lost here. And, D, this is your time to shine.
All right. Hey, everyone, thanks for listening. We appreciate you as always. Speaking of listening, a couple hashtag get lost. Hashtag get lost to people criticizing Joe Lenardi. Turkey Tom Calgren said that. Joe Lenardi's just speculating on brackets. Hashtag get lost to the NIT. Lenny Anderson said that.
That's
and my brother just sent me a message saying hashtag get lost to that sissy who does the golf waggle. So there we go.
Well, you guys are going to tell me to hashtag get lost after I do this, but I'm not doing a get lost. I have to throw a little bit of a shout out to the Du Bois Theater, a high school theater production of Shrek. Everybody should go see that this weekend. Please support
nice.
Our kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, that's great, except you're the guy who says don't mix sports and theater. But hey, that's fine too.
You know
you're
what?
Talking
my kid's in it, so yep. I have to say something.
There you go. Hashtag get lost to the yearly tradition of belly aching over which teams didn't make the tournament.
Pitt.
Get lost, Pitt. 343s or whatever strength of schedule playing Little Sisters of the Poor. Get lost.
And hashtag get lost to the tough lip outs in golf.
Oh,
that
was
a rough one on 18.
Oh, that was so bad.
All right. Well, for Dave Glass and Dave Herzing, I'm Bob Anderson. We thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next week on Under Review on Connect FM.